Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. It's Monday, the 17th of September. How are you? Hopefully you had a lovely weekend. Beautiful weather-wise. Mm-hmm. I know while the rest of the country was, much of the country was being pummeled and horrible conditions in some parts of this country, but we were lucky and had a beautiful weekend, and hopefully you were able to enjoy it throughout the region. We have a lot to talk about this morning, including some of those weather stories, and but we got a couple things to discuss before that that are going on and of great import, so we will do that. Let me introduce the group to you. A reminder, you can always join in our conversation. It's panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Joining us for the discussion this morning, we have political consultant Libby Post with us. Good morning, Libby. How are
you? Good morning. I'm good.
How's that cough of yours?
It's still here.
All right.
I might be late tomorrow because I got an 8 o'clock
appointment. Oh, you got to get the...
Yeah.
Okay.
So just giving everybody full warning.
Thank you
You're welcome. Very much
for letting us know.
Okay.
James Ketterer is with us once again. We are thrilled to have him here. He is the Dean of International Studies at Bard College and Academic Director of the Bard Globalization and International Affairs Program. James Ketterer, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be back.
Very nice to have you with us. Albany Law School Professor Sarah Rogerson is here, directs the Immigration Law Clinic and is Dean... that goes into James... directs the Immigration Law Clinic and Albany Law School professor. And good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I spent the weekend in lovely Montreal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Great weather up there. And I'm told we can listen to WAMC almost all the way there.
Yeah, because our Plattsburgh station goes in that direction.
WCEL.
We used to be able to hear it right in Montreal. However, then the Canadians got wise.
Yeah, but the app, you can listen to it anywhere if you have the app.
Yeah.
And wireless.
Good reminder.
Or good cellular service.
That's true. And Bluetooth.
Right.
When I lived in Egypt, I used to listen to it while in Egypt. Yeah.
You guys are just
the
walking
app is really
this radio station. And Alan Chartok, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Always happy to be here. It's a wonderful thing. I understand you went to see Ringo this weekend.
I went to see Ringo Starr this weekend. We did that on Friday. That was fun. Had a good time. You know, sort of some of the inconsistencies of the show are made better by the fact that you have to say, oh, my God, I'm seeing a Beatle.
Right.
Sort of supersedes everything else.
Gotcha.
You're like,
now,
oh, what is that note? Who cares? It's a Beatle.
How is the old boy?
It's good. Yeah. He's very good. I'll tell you, he's in great shape. I don't know. I have to look this up. I've been meaning to look this up ever since I went.
And it's a good time to do it while you're
how
on the
old?
Air.
Well, because I'm wondering, because I said at one point, I said to Kelly, I think he's Alan's age.
And by the way, give him his due. He's Sir Ringo now.
Yes, right. He is Sir Ringo. He is Sir Ringo.
Did they all get knighted, or did McCartney? Who smoked the dope? Somebody smoked the dope, and therefore
I think they all smoked the dope.
When they met the Queen, they were all stoned when they met the Queen. Back in the 60s. They were all
and
buzzed.
But one of them...
So it's Sir Paul,
yeah, Sir
and
Paul.
It's Sir Ringo.
Right. Yeah.
And I
think Lennon was the man out.
And I don't know...
I don't think the other two got it.
Because they
died.
They passed.
Right.
Yeah. You're how old, Alan?
77.
Okay, so he's 78.
Wow, you're a youngster.
Here I am.
Right.
There you go. But I could just see, like, he just, like, bounded out on stage like he was shot out of a cannon. That's just what I think of you doing. It's like, boom!
That's exactly,
out you go.
That's exactly what I do.
Just think of it.
When I'm not watching
the Beatles smoke. The Beatles are 78 years old.
I don't think
it's really something when you think of it in perspective.
And not to hijack all this, but I have to say that the one thing that just is so impressive about when you see one of these concerts, whether it be Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr, is how many... parents of whatever generation, grandparents, parents, bringing kids. It is not one of those shows where it is only people. Right.
Right.
Only people in their 60s or 70s. It is people who are, I mean, there were groups of kids that were going just by themselves, which I think is really
cool.
Really
it says
a
That's
lot
amazing.
About
yeah.
right.
their music. So it was a lot of fun. Thanks for asking, Al.
My pleasure.
Let me go on to the order of the day and talk about what's happening in the world. And there's a lot happening, especially when it comes to the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. It was far from a slow news weekend when it comes to that story. Over the weekend, what happened is that there was a note that was a letter that was sent that eventually went to the FBI to it was sent to Dianne Feinstein. Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she then sent it to the FBI. Over the weekend, the letter was revealed, which was from a woman who had a story of a sexual assault that happened to her when she and Brett Kavanaugh were in high school. And then she was not to be named. And then I believe the New Yorker did a story and they got permission to use her name. She said she would come forward. And then the news this morning in this very fast moving story is that Christine Blasey Ford now says that she will testify. All of this happens as several senators, both Democratic and Republican, although of course mostly Democratic, are saying that they not only want this, they would like to see this vote delayed. The vote is on Thursday. And Jeff Flake, being one of the Republican senators, who is calling for a delay. And then we see what happens. But that's the skeleton of the story.
So let's keep an eye on the Collins lady.
Right.
Right. Does. So let's go to the group and see what you all make of this story. Who wants to start?
Well, I'd love to hear from Libby and Sarah, because I do think that this is all about women in mm-hmm. this country. This is now a political story. It's not a legal story. Can't arrest the guy for what happened all those years. But it is a political story, and it puts the Republicans between a rock and a rock.
Right.
There's
and
no
a harder way, place.
There's
right.
no way out of it for them.
A rock in the swamp, the bottom
yeah,
of the swamp.
Right, right. So you get a guy like McConnell, perhaps not, or you yeah. get Grassley, perhaps not. But there are people in the middle on this one, United States senators who risk everything. I mean, I know I didn't want to say anything, but you can imagine Ted Cruz, who is, on the precipice.
Tight race.
Right now, and he can't afford to lose all those women in Texas, that's for sure.
I just want to, real quick, I'm assuming everyone heard the story, but speaking publicly for the first time, Ford said that one summer in the early 1980s, Kavanaugh and a friend, both, quote, stumbling drunk, Ford alleges, corralled her into a bedroom during a gathering of teenagers at a house in Montgomery County, Maryland. While his friend watched, he said Kavanaugh pinned her to the bed on her back and groped her over her clothes, grinding his body against hers and clumsily attempting to pull off her one-piece bathing suit and the clothing she wore over it. When she tried to scream, he put his hand over her mouth. She said, she's now 51 years old. She's a research psychologist in Northern California, Palo Alto, I believe. She said, I thought he might inadvertently kill me. He was trying to attack me and remove my clothing. Ford said she was able to escape when Kavanaugh's friend and classmate at Georgetown Preparatory School, Mark Judge, jumped on top of them, sending all three tumbling. She said she ran from the room, briefly locked herself in a bathroom, and then fled the house. This probably goes without saying, but Kavanaugh says that none of this happened.
Now, just one last thing. And the other guy says what? He says he wrote a book in which he said he was an alcoholic mm-hmm. and that he had long blackout periods. But now he miraculously remembers that no such thing happened.
Well, and it's no coincidence that, was it 65 women signed on to a letter?
Yeah.
Within 48 hours, within 24 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty quick when you have all those women lined up.
Same way.
They had that ready to go.
I'm sorry, yeah. Sarah. What did they say? What is 65? I didn't know about
that. That said that he did not sexually assault them, or that he was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
Like a character reference.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So how many of you know 65 women who could vouch for your character
from high school?
I want to hear from the men about that. And do you have it on the ready? And if you do, then why?
So right. they must have known that he was vulnerable to this,
yes.
and they had this
yes.
ready to go.
Right.
That was my sense politically.
Well, as the billboards around the Capitol District from the state troopers say, with a photo of a woman with a hand over her mouth, enough is enough. And, sexual assault on campuses, sexual assault among teenagers, sexual violence is an epidemic. I have no problem believing this woman's story whatsoever.
None.
Well, she took a polygraph and
yep,
passed with an FBI
did.
Polygraph
right.
expert.
The question remains is she going to be treated like Anita Hill was treated when she brought similar kinds of allegations against Clarence Thomas? Or is Jeff Flake playing presidential roulette, because we all know he wants to run for president, and this will put him in good stead if he says we shouldn't do this.
So, so two things on that. One, the difference, of course, between this and Anita Hill is that that was sexual harassment. And not attempted rape.
Yeah,
sure.
That was
number
one.
This is
pubic,
true.
That was a pubic hair on a coke can, which is a lot different than attempted rape.
This is true. However, it's all part of a continuum of sexual violence and what women need to look at and to deal with on a daily basis. And back then, you could talk more freely, a little bit more freely, about sexual harassment than you could about sexual violence. With the Me Too movement, all of this now is fair game and is something that women are finally starting to talk about.
So that's my question. We are in a different, we're in a much different time. We have a much different sensibility about these subjects. So does this then carry much more weight than it would have? Is it a fair comparison to Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas when you look at the ultimate question, which becomes,
is he fit?
Is he fit to be a Supreme Court justice? And ultimately, and I hate to be crass about this, but whether he's fit or not, will he get the gig?
Right. I mean, a part of this is going to be the Republicans, the Mitch McConnells of the world will be, well, boys will be boys. That's what the response is going to be. He was a teenager. Who knows what really happened? Everybody was drinking. Nobody reported anything, blah, 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 the usual sort of stuff. But in this moment, with women being the deciders of so many elections and so many women running for Congress and other elected offices across the country, we're in a different time in a different moment.
And women being open about their histories of surviving sexual violence,
that's
which
right.
is now still taboo, but less taboo than it has been in the past. As a mother of two boys, I would not accept an excuse like that from them at the age of 16. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're coming a long way, but that doesn't excuse the histories in the past for the most important job in this country. It really is. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so I'm biased, but a lifetime appointment? Think of all that. Let's move the focus off the victims and talk about the candidate. I could go through a list of lawyers and law professors and legal scholars who would be way more qualified, who I would trust with that seat much more than someone who had even an inkling of this in their personal history.
Okay, one other thing, and that is, let's look at this another way. Do the Republican members of the United States Senate who have been feckless in terms of calling up Trump for what he's done, do those folks like Trump? Hell no. They don't like him. They don't want him. But they want the Supreme Court more than they want to call out Trump.
They want the policy.
Right. If, in fact, it turns out that there is going to be a hearing and that Susan, talk about feckless, and Susan Collins turns and a couple of others do, that means, and if in fact the United States Senate turns, and it's now looking like it might, that's the end of this guy.
That's right.
And remember that there's still Merrick Garland to consider in all of this, which is all the gloves are off, obviously, because of what they did to him.
But and also, I mean, with Jeff Flake saying he doesn't want to go forward. I mean, it's an 11-10 majority on the committee. So with Flake out, I mean, this might not even get out of committee.
Yes, but what will happen to Flake? This is the interesting question. If, in fact, it gets out of committee and it goes to the floor, will Flake vote no?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That becomes very interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And will McCaskey and Collins vote no?
Yeah, well, I have lost all hope in those two, tell you the truth. I saw her interviewed in an airport this weekend on CNN.
I saw
which
that.
Her?
Susan Collins.
And it was unacceptable. That's all I got to say. She was, if anything,
on this issue?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The reporter had a microphone. She kept her back turned to the reporter. She kept saying, basically, I don't know. And, you know, is this troubling? And, well, you know. It was unbelievable. I think up until now, she's gotten away with it. She's been seen as a champion of women. I'm for their right to do with their bodies what they want. But now I think the flimsiest of, you know, excuses here.
And we can see the narrative building in favor of Kavanaugh, saying, well, he was just a teenager.
Right.
And You know, I think it's important to remember that the Central Park Five, who were accused and falsely convicted, and the president, our current president, took out a full-page ad saying they should be executed. They were 14 and 15 years old. Malcolm Nance, I saw on social media, said this weekend that he has had to deal with cases of sailors who are teenagers. I mean, being a teenager does not let you off the hook for a crime.
And you know, one other way to look at this is substitute the word murder for rape. Right? Or attempted rape.
Well, but that, those were equivalent, right? I think the violation of a woman's body is just a political landscape at this point, as opposed to, I mean, in terms of, it's a fun thought exercise in terms of trying to figure out, like, where's the line, except if you're a woman, because we know that it doesn't matter.
It's not unequal.
It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, I'm missing this. What do you mean, Sarah? I'm sorry.
Because we don't we don't think of sexual assault in the same way as we think of murder.
No,
and
but
other
the only reason I mentioned
crimes.
Murder is that you put murder into that and you say, okay, there's no statute of limitations on murder, but there is statute of limitations for all kinds of male chauvinist reasons on attempted rape. But would we let anybody off the hook, even if they were a teenager who murdered somebody?
Yeah, but let's look at how the Republicans feel about rape. Let's look at some of the quotes of these people. We had Todd Akin, from the Republican from Missouri. If it's legitimate rape, what's that? The female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down.
Unbelievable.
Really? Okay, Rick Santorum, rape victims should make the best of a bad situation. You know, they go on and on and on. This one guy, Lawrence Lachman, who's a Republican from Maine, if a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist's pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't result in anyone's death. Well, you know what? That's simply not true.
All right.
There are countless women who have killed themselves after sexual assault.
I'm gonna hold you there, and when we come back, we'll talk much more about the subject. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Not surprisingly, we got a ton of letters on this particular subject. We'll get to those letters. And as we talk more about what is going on here, Alan, go ahead.
Okay, Joe. Linda writes, Kavanaugh nomination. I thought the ready availability of the letter signed by 65 women was suspect. Now I think the trotting out the girls' basketball team is beyond creepy. I love the panel, says Linda. Anybody?
Agreed.
I wonder how many more women are going to step forward now.
Well, I was wondering that, too. Don't you think that would have happened by now?
No, because you needed this one person to say who she was.
Before she said she was going to come back to
do it.
I was concerned about, I mean, okay, we'll go on with the letters. I'm just this question about of the pressure that then she is under to testify. I can't even imagine what that must have been like.
It's enormous. She's going to have the entire nation watching her.
And I mean that's a thing that I don't know if anyone would ever be ready for, and of what just goes into that.
As a lawyer who has had to prepare witnesses to speak on the stand to immigration judges about sexual assault, I can tell you that a tremendous amount of mental, physical, and emotional pain and distress is foisted on these women, and that I've never made it through one without feeling some of it myself. A lot of women in this country are experiencing, I mean, even just hearing about this on the radio, and that's just something important to acknowledge. You know, some women may have to turn off the radio or turn off the television for this because we know how it feels. So there's a lot at stake for her.
And not to be overly generic in this, but if she does testify and if there is a hearing, you're going to have these old men asking her these questions, which is going to be
Republican side, not one.
I'm going to use a legal term here, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Icky.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna challenge her, and they're gonna get some perverted pleasure out of being able to put her on the spot. I mean,
I don't think so, Libby.
Oh, I do. Oh, Alan, I think some of these guys. I think some of these guys, this is how they get their jollies. I hate
You may be right, but on the other hand, these are uncharted political waters, and the entire control of the United States Senate and everything else is at stake here.
Yeah, I get that. You're not going to see it. It's all going to be inside. You're not going to see them like you used to see. I mean, you know, you saw that during the Anita Hill hearings. You're not going to see it like you did, but you know it's there.
And I think it'll also be interesting to see if they recall Judge Kavanaugh, how they handle him. Mm-hmm. What sort of questioning comes? I think we can anticipate what it would be from the Democratic side, but from the Republican side, how will they handle him on the facts of this case, the honesty of his testimony that he gave already, and also going back over, he must have had several security clearances already to work in the White House, to be a federal judge. Yeah. And so what about the truthfulness? I mean, they're going to be going over the answers on those security clearances with a fine-tooth comb. And what will be found? Other things will be found?
And the real question is, why would she come forward and say this unless it was true? Why would you put yourself in the middle of one of the biggest political expletive storms that there is right now?
I just have to add one thing, because I heard this a lot over the last 24 hours on cable news, where especially in Fox and other places, where they were saying that she comes in at the 11th hour. Well, she came in. She wrote the letter a day or two, I think, within a week after the nomination.
Right.
She wrote the letter
right.
to Dianne
yep.
Feinstein.
Right.
This is not an 11th hour thing.
Right.
We're hearing about it now, but... This was something.
Actually, she spoke up before the nomination.
She spoke up in 2012 in therapy, which is all of that's coming out now too. But I mean, it's not an 11th hour thing. This is something that she reported almost immediately after the nomination.
You know, I was struck by something that Donald Trump was reported to have said on the cable this weekend. He was lecturing somebody who had been accused. And he said to the individual, "You made a mistake. You left. You said, well, maybe something this and that." He said, "No, you never do that. You only deny, deny, deny." And that's what we see. That's the playbook mm-hmm. for Kavanaugh.
That's right.
But behind the scenes, I would assume there's a different conversation going on.
Definitely.
In the White House, where they maybe, probably as we speak, are saying, drop this guy now. Nominate somebody else and get them confirmed before the election.
I wish that was the response.
But I was
wondering,
I agree, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering, to Jim's point, all they did, from my understanding, all the White House did was reissue his statement from a few days ago, number one, mm-hmm. and number two, and then refer all the questions to him. It wasn't like they were taking it on as, okay, we're gonna go to the wall with this guy. I did find that was interesting.
Pollsters are telling them that all of these elections are about women and women's votes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they can't mess around with that.
And they can, if they put somebody else up now, it's not going to be a progressive. It will be someone equally conservative, mm-hmm. just maybe somebody easier to confirm.
Except that, as I said before, and I will say again, if in fact this thing fails and the Senate flips, it's all over.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they want to do it now.
And
they can't do this whole process fast enough. Before
that's right.
the midterm.
And it would seem to be a tall order to get it done before.
And their basic premise
is... thinking about it.
And their basic premise is it has to be done by Thursday, to which we all say, why?
Why?
So
why?
It's just a risk assessment. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's not a high-level thought piece about morals and how we feel about women.
No.
But it's definitely a risk assessment. Like, could we get him... Like, where are the votes? They're scrambling to find the votes, and they're sending out polls upon polls to see who's vulnerable and whether or not they can push it through anyway. That's it.
Let's go back to the letters.
Thanks, Joe. And Peter says, sexual assault. I don't find it that hard to believe Kavanaugh did what he's accused of, but it can't be proved. My worry is that this will become a standard way to sink anybody's nomination for anything. Well, this is a very interesting letter, don't you think, Libby?
Please, just give me a break.
No, but
I'm sorry. Women don't do this lightly. You know, this guy's making it seem like, oh, I want to like bare my soul, let everybody know who I am. I'm on every news cycle for the next umpteenth days just because I want to get a little press.
But wait a second. My worry is that this will become a standard way to sink anybody's nomination for anything. So there's a premise here, right? The premise is that there is something fishy about this accusation, which we don't buy. At least I don't buy it.
Another way to sink someone's nomination is to say that they're a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there are so many tools in the arsenal of men that, like, you think this is the bazooka that, like, I mean, just, well, I'll just leave it at that.
William says, Mr. Kavanaugh.
I understand, but I'm sorry.
It says, and I love this letter because he assigns a value to the letter. So at the very top of the letter, he says, William says, Mr. Kavanaugh. And then he writes, importance, colon, hi. 65 women signed off on a letter vouching for the character of Mr. Kavanaugh while in high school. Mr. Kavanaugh went to an all-boys high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. Mm-hmm. And that's from a teacher in Kingston High School. All right. And then Mary says, infuriating. When Clarence Thomas was confirmed, despite Anita Hill's accusation as a young woman, I got the message loud and clear that our government considers the sexual assault of women to be trivial. If Christine Blasey Ford is brushed aside, as Hill was, it will show that women are still second-class citizens at best. For justice to be truly served, Thomas should be impeached. And that's from Mary. Well, that ain't going to happen.
No.
Okay, so then Stephen says, Kavanaugh, how about a rundown of lies and obfuscations that the nominee is now known to be implicated in? Well, you mentioned that, I think, before, Jim. Didn't you?
Security clearance, at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that would be something, you know, the way that he answered questions in the hearing is one thing. The security clearances, you have to put this down in writing, and you have to sign your name, and you say everything I just said on this form is true.
And if you lie, you go to jail, potentially.
Exactly.
Yep.
And they take, you know, they take it, and they should take it quite seriously.
Yeah. And Kevin says, credibility. Kavanaugh's credibility was already shot down by Senator Leahy's questioning and his further statements to the Washington Post op-ed. Leahy worded it as Kavanaugh, quote, misled in both of his appearances before the Judicial Committee. Maybe this is strike three.
One would hope. And I think that Senator Booker is still releasing certain confidential documents.
Right. He's going to be the hero here.
You know, I'm about to say something that will get me a ton of people who aren't happy with me. But I try to watch these nominees and try to get a sense of them myself. And I watched him. And I said, well, you know, the guy's a conservative. He's going to ruin the country and all of that. But he does seem like they got the right guy for this job. And now I look at him and I see him entirely differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like him anymore. Not that I liked them, but that I was willing to sort of understand what they were doing and how they did it. So
yeah, he comes across as Mr. Nice Guy. You know, coaches his daughter's Little League or whatever it is that he coaches. Everybody loves him. His black Yale roommate came and testified on his behalf that he's a good guy. You know, so what? He's a good guy. That's lovely, but his politics are horrible. And now we know he really isn't such a good guy.
Jim says, Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh profiled himself as a party guy in his yearbook. If reports are accurate, just once, I was a party guy in high school, and the FBI would have no problem finding that out. But they couldn't find Kavanaugh, even when he touted it in his yearbook. I don't think he should be condemned for adolescent indiscretion. Lying, however, is another matter. If he has done cocaine or LSD, would it still be excusable? It must be looked into. Guess the squeaky clean portrait has a blemish or two. Jim from Glenmont. Let me read that one line that is so disturbing in this letter. I don't think he should be condemned for adolescent indiscretion.
That caught my ear as well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, that's much
this is not
more
just
than
an
adolescent indiscretion.
Right. This is a crime, if it's true.
Yeah.
a felony.
Yeah.
But this boys will be boys.
And but as has been mentioned here, if he was one of the Central Park Five, and he had a different color skin, it would not be seen as an indiscretion.
No.
Or Emmett Till.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
Emmett Till. Well, yes, and there is some real doubt as to whether Emmett Till ever did that whistle.
I don't think he did.
Yeah. I don't either.
And okay, even if he did.
And right, big deal.
Right, yeah.
And so Bob said, the other shoe. One of the constants of sexual harassment and assault accusation is that they start with one accuser and then other victims surface emboldened by the first. No one knows whether this will happen with Kavanaugh, but I, for one, wouldn't be surprised if it does. And I wish Bob had gone on a little further and said, which is exactly why we can't vote on this nomination on Thursday. That's the whole point. You got to give it a little time to percolate.
Yeah.
What's the rush?
We know what the rush is.
We do. That wasn't a real question.
right. Emma says, stop Kavanaugh. Dear panel, I'm a longtime listener, though I have never written. I would like to take a small exception to Alan's point that the Kavanaugh allegation constitute a woman's issue. Anybody remember that particular statement by me?
I don't know exactly what.
Although we should certainly be amplifying the voices of women during the process, this is an issue that affects us all. The prevalence of sexual violence in our society is everyone's issue, men, women, and all people. And the idea that someone who has assaulted a woman and will most certainly assault all women by overturning Roe v. Wade, if he is confirmed, is unacceptable and should be terrifying to every single American. Many thanks for your wonderful panel. And that's cheers from Emma. But Emma, I agree with everything you've written, except where you quote me as saying that this is only a women's issue.
I think you were handing off the question to both Sarah and Libby.
Yeah. And also you've made the point about the electoral issue around women.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
But it certainly isn't a women's issue for somebody who has a wife and a daughter and a granddaughter. It certainly isn't that.
And I don't think it should be just to the female Republican senators either, Collins and Murkowski. I mean, I think that this should weigh heavily on everyone who has to cast a vote in this committee and beyond.
I am so disgusted with Collins. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I really think this is a study in hypocrisy.
But just remember, you have some of these folks, whether they're in the Senate or the House right now, who, you know, stand up for law and order and God and all the rest of that stuff, and then they have affairs and they make the person they've had an affair with have an abortion. You know, even though they're anti-choice and they want Brett Kavanaugh, they make them have an abortion because they can't have a child out of wedlock. I mean, these people are just duplicitous.
Let's take a break there. When we come up, when we come back, we'll continue with the letters and we will continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Nice to have you with us. We have a lot going on this morning and we will talk about other stuff. I'll tell you, we've got a ton of mail on this issue and we want to address most of it. People have a lot to say. We want to share it with you. So we'll go back to the letters and we'll move through.
Colin says, I had a long talk with my wife this weekend about the sexual assault allegation against Kavanaugh. We both agreed that being judged by our actions in high school at this point in our lives would be unfair. But we both also agreed that we own what we did then and learned from our many mistakes. Kavanaugh's refusal to own this very credible accounting of his actions is to us the most troubling aspect of this story. If he claims it didn't happen, there's no way he learned anything from it and calls into question the very foundation of his character development as a human whose job is to judge the actions of others. We can do better than this guy. Well, there is an implicit issue here, and that is that this letter from Colin, a very good letter, sort of says he did it. I know he did it. And what if he didn't do it? Now, do I think he did it? Yeah, I'm quite sure he did it. Polygraph and everything else. But, you know, there is that part of it. No? Yes?
Well, I think we're also making a false equivalence between rape and, you know, sneaking some alcohol out of your parents' basement and skinny dipping, right? Like, there's a difference between, like, you know, I'm not saying I did that. I'm just saying there are high school indiscretions and then there are crimes. And there is a big difference between the two.
Yeah, you're right. George says to the panel, Whee! And where was your outrage during the Clinton years?
Same place. Mm-hmm. Same center. It all comes from the same place. This is
Change my mind about the guy. I'll tell you right now. And I'm quite sure it changed my wife's
idea. And it's interesting to see that Ken Starr, I think, has just written a book, and he's on a book tour.
It's disgusting.
And so he's back in the mix. I haven't heard him weigh in on this particular issue.
I have.
Kavanaugh?
I've heard him over and over and over again. He can't wait to get on the shows, and he sounds like such a reasonable man when, in fact, he was one of the worst of the worst. That's who the guy is. Terrible.
I just want to, real quick, because I think it's interesting, we were talking about it early, and I know we have a ton of letters, but so Lisa Murkowski in saying, if there are more questions that need to be asked and answered, then I think it would be appropriate to ask those questions at this time.
Which is different from saying, I'll vote no if you don't do it.
And this is also different than Susan Collins, who said, I'm obviously very surprised, and it's an issue I brought up with him last Friday, and he denied, as he did in his written statement. That's really all I have to say at that point.
Deny, deny, deny.
Okay. Well, she has her constituency to worry about, too, saying, when did you know it, and at what point? And, you know, she has to make it clear to her constituency that the level of knowledge that she has and that she did her due diligence. And
okay,
that's all she can
okay,
do
so she's a Republican.
Yes.
And it's a Republican state that can have Democrats. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. So what is her thinking as she's talking about her own political survivability? Is she willing to be a profiling courage? Or is she saying, okay, now if I go wrong here, the Democrats will never give me credit for having done it, and the Republicans will hate me forever, and therefore I lose?
I think she knew that as a woman with the level of education and life experience in the world, that this was ultimately going to be part of her sacrifice for America, is that no matter what she does, it's not going
to
turn out.
I'd love you to be right.
And can I ask a legal question, Sarah?
Sure. So I might not know the answer. But
they bring Kavanaugh back to the committee, put him under oath, and then they ask questions about this incident. What happens if he's found not to have told the truth later? If he's lied to Congress under
after
oath?
After the fact?
Yeah.
After he's been sworn in?
Then at any point.
Then they could bring him up on perjury, right? And that, I mean, I don't know the particular process that's involved in that, mm-hmm. but he will be prepped to be consistent with his prior testimony. There will be objections to any questioning that could be implied to be duplicative or asked and answered, right? You have a whole panel of senators up there, and they're going to be battling it out with each other. Some of the best lawyers in the country, actually. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
But if he's under oath, it's a different ballgame, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, our friend Lisa writes, I wonder how the good judge feels about trotting his young daughters before the cameras now that these dastardly allegations are looming. What are those poor children facing at school? Oh, the irony of Mr. Trump. And that's Lisa from Pequod. Okay. And Michelle says, these guys will be, in capital letters, getting some kind of perverse pleasure out of grilling that woman.
Can I just say that there are a couple of things when we're talking about women running for office, and a lot of women have contemplated it increasingly in the last 2 years, that these are the types of sacrifices that women have to think about even before they get elected. What will this do for my children? You know, what will this do? What happens when I put my reputation on the line?
So you're applying that directly to these two women Republican women who will be the deciding votes here?
Any woman who is in an elected position has to think about these things before they throw their hat into the ring. It's actually on questionnaires to say, like, have you thought about the fact that your children are going to be in the spotlight? Men don't have to ask the same question. Maybe they do, but they have different answers.
My wife will take care of it.
Okay, so TJ says, Kavanaugh has a serious gambling problem. He's a compulsive, degenerate gambler. Maxed out his credit cards, ran up hundreds of thousands in debt. No one knows who paid it off either. He claimed baseball tickets, but the top season ticket price is only $9,000. He owed over $200,000. I don't know a thing about this.
Well, there was
that did come up. Yeah,
that came up. It came up in the hearings. It came up in some of the in the pre-investigations, and there is discrepancy as to
where that money went and ultimately who paid for it. I'm going to pause you there, Alan. We have a lot of letters, and I'm sure we'll get more during the break. Panel at WAMC.org. We are going to take a break so Ray Graff can give us some news, and we'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Convino Wine Bar,
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us as we discuss the news of the day. Alan Chartok is here. Albany Law School professor Sarah Rogerson, who directs the Immigration Law Clinic, is here. Dean of International Studies at Bard College and academic director of the Bard Globalization and International Affairs Program, James Ketterer, is on the panel. And our dear friend and Monday regular political consultant Libby Post is here. Good morning to all. And we have a ton of letters talking about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination and whether it is in peril or not. And we'll go back to those letters as we move through our final half hour.
Okay,
together.
Thanks, Joe. Amy says, male listeners, it's really unnerving how many of your male listeners write in with excuses, rationalizations, dismissals, and minimizing sexual assault. It's an abhorrent crime. Rape culture is not hyperbolic, it's real. Mm-hmm. And that's from Amy. Suzanne says, Kavanaugh, his mother is a judge. There seems to be no question that all his life until now he has been groomed for this. The question whether or not he was aware of the sexual antics attributed to a very powerful judge whom he worked for, I believe, was not settled. And he was, quote, not aware of the info on emails stolen from Patrick Leahy and so on. There are several legit committee complaints and he denies everything. He claims always not to be aware of so much. Suzanne, P.S. agree with Alan about Susan Collins, always afraid to get off the fence. No leadership, no backbone. And Mary says assault. Think about today's conservative mindset. For example, Pence can't be alone with a woman because of the seductive powers women hold. Therefore, these are people who do not believe men are responsible for assault. They don't believe in assault. It's disgusting. Thank you for the fine panel. And Deborah says, Kavanaugh, dear panel, they made a deal with Kennedy to resign to get this guy on. How do they get around there? And if guys commit assault, there should be consequences. Deborah. And Maureen says, isn't being revealed as a liar disqualifying? Maureen. And Michael says, dear panel, as a father of a daughter, I take sexual assault very seriously. I hope and pray my daughter and all young women finally have a day when this isn't a concern for them. However, to ask the question about why would this woman come forward if the accusations aren't true seems very naive. You really don't think there are extremists on the left or right that are willing to do anything to torpedo someone they're opposed to. Give me a break. And Denise says,
your give me a break or her give me a break?
She said.
Okay, fine.
He. It's the first male comment in that string of comments. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you, Alan, says Denise from Loudonville. In the midst of a highly intelligent conversation about the Kavanaugh case, I was dumbfounded by Libby's ridiculous statement about the Republican senators, quote, getting their jollies by interviewing the brave woman who was willing to testify against Kavanaugh. Thank you, Alan, for bringing the conversation back to the facts. We do not need wild generalizations, accusations. These only serve to muddy the waters with bias and hatred. I appreciate the panel, and that's Denise from Loudonville. And Greg says, Garland, panel, just worrying. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Panel, just wondering, but is Merrick Garland's nomination tentatively still pending? Was it withdrawn? Could it be acted on? Anybody know that one?
I believe it was withdrawn, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know where that would be procedurally.
I think it ended with the end of the Obama administration.
Yeah. Kavanaugh says, Andrew, is it possible Kavanaugh does not have the stomach for seeing this through? I don't think so.
No.
He's going to see this through.
This is a tremendous amount of power.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Neil says, Kavanaugh, and by the way, let's say he withdraws. He's damaged goods forever. His only hope is to survive it and become a Supreme Court judge.
Otherwise,
right, those are sort of your options.
Yeah.
Well, he stays on his current court for life.
Well, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's not the point. The point really is, if he withdraws, he's going to have to be afraid. It gives credence to the idea that he that he did something wrong, which he's going to deny.
No, it would be a victim narrative, and he would be trotted out by the Federalist Society and other organizations who just want to...
You think so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, I do want to point out that just since we started talking this morning, that he has put out a statement saying that he is willing, if the Senate wants it, he is willing to answer their questions.
Neil says, Kavanaugh, who was the other man in the room, and what does he have to say? The other man in the room is now saying it never happened.
Well, but in his memoir
right.
He does refer to someone named Mick Kavanaugh or something to that effect, and gave the basic rundown of what happened. So
is that right?
It read in the memoir.
In the memoir, I read that.
Well, he wrote a memoir in which he said he was a raving drunk.
Right, he was a drunk, and
had blackouts from that time. Now he comes back and he says it never happened. Okay, so Sean says, in response to the letter, writer, this will become a new easy tactic to derail. That is a very broad statement. As a former prosecutor, you have strong corroborative evidence. In this case, a disclosure in 2012 from the victim outlining the defense. Then she took a lie detector test and she disclosed to her husband the disclosures all well in advance of this process. In addition, she had a long professional career, bolstering her credibility, undercutting her claim that she may be unstable. This is not just an accusation, and to suggest it is fails to understand the significance of what precedes the disclosure, and that's from Sean. And Emma says, I'm a longtime listener, though I've never written. No, this one we read already. Thank you very much from Emma. Remember that one about the women's issue? We did that. Okay. And Carolyn says, Kavanaugh's accuser reported the assault to a therapist years ago. And Stephen says, doesn't the senator from Hawaii on the Judicial Committee ask all male candidates testifying under oath before the committee if they ever committed sexual assault or harassment?
I'm not familiar with that, but if he had already been asked that in those long hearings that happened a couple weeks ago.
And in the previous hearings.
And in previous hearings for his current position. That testimony should be gone over, I would assume.
Matt says, floor vote. For your information, there does not need to be a committee vote on Kavanaugh. The whole Senate can vote without a recommendation from the Judiciary Committee. That's happened, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
What will Dem senators in tight races like McCaskill do? And Jay says, topic of rape versus murder. Rape is worse than murder. The way I know it is worse is that I know good, honest men who in war or with cause would kill. But if commanded to rape, as sometimes happens in war, they wouldn't do it because it crosses the line of being too wrong. It's a commitment of sin that carries one of the highest levels of intent. Killing and other types of assault can be committed and yet still hold disgust by the assailant. But rape is an assault that by its nature requires the assailant enjoy its offense. The will and intent of the assailant is indisputable and therefore holds higher culpability than other forms of assault, crimes, and sin.
Well, just as I would hope that if Libby and I weren't here and that there were men in our seats, that we would all be having, that you would all be having a different but hopefully informed conversation that resonates with the women's voices. And you know, there's no way to replicate the experience of a woman. But having us bear the burden of this conversation, not in this room, but women generally in the country, whether they're elected, whether they're visible, whether they're in their therapist's office, is another piece of the real crime of this. And more men need to come out and say, this is unacceptable. I will be watching what Senator Booker does in these various rounds. And if Kavanaugh is brought back, because he did have the courage, he stood up to Senator Cornyn on an allegation, basically, that he had broken the Senate rules such that he could be removed from office. He put his entire, he knew it was a political calculation,
I'm
sure.
Can I cut you off for a second?
Yeah.
And tell you that the CNN is now reporting that Brett Kavanaugh is at the White House.
Ooh,
now, God knows what that means. It may mean that they know what we don't know, if you know what I mean. And if it's bad enough, he goes.
Yeah, I still think he could get dropped.
And that's the end of that.
Hopefully by the end of this show.
Right.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes, so if you step it up there, Mr. President. Tweet out. Tell us what's going on.
The other part of this is that Brett Kavanaugh could very well remember what happened, but he didn't think of it as assault because...
Back then.
Right, back then.
You don't look at it as...
You didn't even look at it as...
So if you're right, Libby, does he pass the same lie detector test?
That's right.
He's never going to be given the same lie detector test, and I don't trust the men at the White House to make the right call on this.
No.
But I mean, remember, this is the president is someone who likes to grab women and walk in on 17-year-olds.
By the way, you know, this is far from the point, but I just have to say that our knowledge of this story, Thursday, the letter, it was announced about the letter, and it was secret, and then by this weekend, we knew a whole lot more very, very quickly.
Yep.
Ronan Farrow.
He's at the center again.
And Mayer. Yeah. Good Lord. I mean, that is some investigative reporting to bring out this information so quickly. Because if you think from the very beginning of this story cycle that it was a woman unidentified who came forward, went to Dianne Feinstein. We weren't going to know her name.
Right.
She wasn't going to testify, and all of that changed in a matter of 24 hours. It's pretty amazing. We'll find out more about the president, and we know that he's at the White House. We don't know exactly who he's meeting with. We can only assume, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we don't know precisely what's happening. We'll try to find out. And as I like how Sarah thinks, step it up. Let's try to figure this out before the end of the show.
And
okay.
And the question, of course, very quickly is, does the White House know something we don't know?
Yeah. Or do they want to find out, right? Or are they saying, hey, where is this? You know, what are you not telling us?
If they have that much moral turpitude.
But politically, they'll just make the calculation and they get any loyalty to this nominee.
What was it's a risk assessment, right?
And
that's what you said. I think that's a
And he wouldn't be at the White House because they would know it would be reported on CNN that he showed up at the White House. Yeah. That's usually after those conversations have happened.
Right. Good point. All right. We only have about 5 minutes left, so I do want to talk about the other news of the weekend, which, of course, was the storm and the Florence and the great damage that this has done to North Carolina. North Carolina confronted a spiraling statewide crisis on Sunday as Tropical Depression Florence slowly ravaged the region, flooding cities, endangering communities from the coastline to the rugged mountains, and requiring well more than 1,000 rescues. Sunday, it seemed, was when the storm system that had stalked the south for days, first as a hurricane, then as a tropical storm, and eventually as a tropical depression, showed its full power with staggering scope. The death toll from the storm rose to at least 16 in North and South Carolina, where roads were treacherous and even the most stately trees were falling. Mitch Colvin, the mayor of Fayetteville, North Carolina, said it's horrible. In the eastern part of the state, where his rising Cape Fear River was expected to swamp bridges and cut his city in two in the next few days, things are deteriorating. We're learning that the story, of course, is getting much worse before it gets any better. And by the way, as this continues, I mean, it's still raining in many places.
Okay, so look, it's horrible. It's just horrible, and we all know it. But it does also raise this issue of a president who is a climate denier and who appoints climate deniers to the most sensitive positions in government, as well as, by the way, a terrible, terrible cyclone that exists on the other side of the world, which is even worse. I mean, here we have how many deaths reported? The last time I looked, it was like 16, something like that.
Yeah, 16.
16. It's more than that, I'm sure. But in the China theater, we're talking about, we're going to surpass 100 deaths, I'm sure of that, at least. Climate change is something that our kids and our grandchildren and, you know, and the future of this world is all about. And this stinker in the White House is saying there is no such thing. That's what gets me.
Anybody else want to add to that? Okay. I want to go to the story real quick about
The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, is calling on the mayor of Cohoes to resign amid allegations that he physically abused his wife and daughter. These allegations have been around for
a long time.
So why now is a good question. But Cuomo issued a statement Sunday saying the fellow Democrat Sean Morse must resign as the mayor of Cohoes. His call for Morse's resignation came hours after the Times Union of Albany reported that the 51-year-old mayor had been accused of physically abusing his wife and younger daughter on multiple occasions. Morse, who hasn't been charged, has denied the allegations. He says he will not resign before his term ends next year. The allegations of abuse involving his now 16-year-old daughter have been investigated by Child Protective Services. Cuomo says state police have reopened an investigation into the allegations based on what the newspaper reported.
The guy's a thug. I believe everything that the TU has written. I have no doubt. You know, there was a woman who was a girlfriend, 20 years ago or longer, who also came forward. He fathered a child with her. He's the Capital District's Donald Trump, to be quite honest with you. You know, he might be a Democrat, but he acts the same way. He denies any responsibility for his actions. I know it took his wife a very long time to come forward because of the fear. All the things that we've been talking about this morning. She's scared of him. She's scared of the consequences. And now, you know, he needs to step down, but he won't. And he will fight this. And I was talking to somebody this morning about the city council can't make, they can only vote to say he should. The governor, I guess, is the only one who can take him out and put the city into receivership or something to that effect.
So the governor has the power to remove him?
That's what somebody told me this morning. Okay.
What's the level of proof? Because I haven't been following this.
Proof?
I'm really sorry. What's the level of proof here?
Well, there's state police investigation where she's finally come forward. Because the other people that are complicit in all this
now,
are the police.
She's still married to him, right?
No, they're in the midst of trying to get divorced. When she moved out, he like changed all the bank accounts and left her without any money and all that sort of stuff.
It's classic abuser
right,
behavior.
Right, okay, yeah. But the other part of this is that the police are complicit in all of this.
How so?
He's best buddies with the police chief. When things got called to the Cohoes police, they glossed it over. You know, you can read the TU stories. It outlines all of this.
I have to. Yeah.
Yes.
Just
toxic masculinity on display. Basically.
And the TU is doing its best to protect the Capital District. I mean, I really think so.
Two things, real quick, in our half a minute left. So, Brett Kavanaugh has just arrived at the White House. Maggie Haberman reporting the White House sees no good options on the table. Per multiple people close to the process, they recognize a hearing is perilous, but at the moment, pushing ahead with a hearing seems better than having Kavanaugh, who's adamant he didn't do it, withdraw, per those in discussions.
Hmm. Well, we don't know where we're going with this. I mean, obviously, things are breaking all the time.
Absolutely.
And if it gets worse for him, you know, he may well be a goner.
Yeah, because, you know, ultimately, the president's going to protect himself, as we all know.
Yes.
Good point. We'll end there. My thanks to everybody. Libby Post, James Ketterer, Sarah Rogerson, Alan Chartok. Thank you all. We'll be back after this.